Turin is a city to walk, and to walk is to measure space, time and thoughts. Because all truly great thoughts are conceived while walking, said Nietzsche, and to walk is how Graham Hudson decided to survey what his practice as an artist is about, transient architectures and forms. Drawing a line on the city map and trying to find a way throughout its past and its fleeting present is what the sound walk is about. A three voices dialogue around history and transience along the route from the Quadrilatero Romano to the Diogene Tram.
Hello, my name's Graham Hudson. I'm walking the city of Turin today. I'm joined by Fabrizio Tocciotti, who has 25 years archaeological experience with GAT, the Group of Archaeology Torino, and Luca Marino, writer, musician, man about town.
Graham Hudson is a London-based artist, born in Sussex, United Kingdom, in 1977. Since graduating from the Royal College of Art in 2002, Hudson has been creating sculptures and interventions at once grand and transient, made out of everyday found materials. Our walk starts from Via Bellezia, turning left towards Via San Domenico, where at the corner with Via Milano stands the last medieval church in town, San Domenico. The origin of the city is under our feet, covered by centuries of stories, history and dust. This is the Quadrilatero Romano, a labyrinth of streets Fabrizio knows as the back of his own hands. Everything we know about this place comes out of his gaze and voice.
Era il Medioevo Torino. Il Medioevo era un, diciamo, un luogo del
now
tempo
try to forget the classical porto, imagery of a medieval popolato brick town and step into the church. Follow the colors and you'll be struck by a fresco, a surprisingly colorful snapshot of how Turin looked like in the Middle Age.
Some months ago, I wrote something about this church. The people that kept on drinking, that stopped to drink at the fountain, because it was a word in a world. People that was drinking, other that were washing, because there were people from the street, and it was the focus of the church was the fountain for me. Because in last years, Torino has less fountains in activity. There are the fountains, but without the water. So the fountains with the water are very alive.
And they just flip into being artifacts when the water goes off. I want to put a poster up for my dog. Yeah. Well, it's still. There's still zones where it's acceptable, like all the stickers along here. There's like areas where it's okay, right? Can you just hold that for a minute for us? What do you think? Okay. Yeah. Too much stuff. Because a lot of this project began with the idea of Nietzsche walking around the city, and that he went insane here. Always seemed like fertile ground for work. So Frederick is my dog, and I saw one of these posters sort of more towards the tram and then on several posts, and there's just this, it's just such a sad story, right? You can't help but connect with your heart, this temporary thing that's not trying to sell you anything political. It's like, so the first poster is now on a lamppost, which is definitely a acceptable community place to put postings. So if you see my lost dog, please help. His name is Frederick.
Frederick.
And call me. We're currently on the corner of Via Milano and Kebab Sinbad, where I ate yesterday and was assured it was a very good falafel. €3.50, I would thoroughly recommend it as a stop off if you're hungry at this point. Was that the church we were at?
Sì, sì, è San Domenico che suona.
See the trees down the street? It is Largo 4 Marzo, the symbol of how the city changed. Once there were brothels, the criminals and scumbags used to hang around here. Now it is a public square, since the 19th century, when the municipality decided to tear down the entire medieval block, just to clear the air. Of the medieval neighborhood, only two buildings survived, Casa del Senato and Casa Broglia, where the latter was the official house for public shout-outs in the Middle Age. The statue at the center of the square reminds us of the 19th century version of the public exposures. It is dedicated to Casimiro Teja, who in 1856 founded a satirical magazine called Pasquino. It was named after the Roman tradition that turned the so-called Pasquino statue into an altar for deposing political leaflets, protestations and exposures.
Piazzetta 4 Marzo. Ah, Via Conteverde, ma.
Just near the large GU, which I want to have a look at as we go.
I can't help but thinking how annoying those scaffoldings on historical buildings are, but Graham seems to like them. Before going on, just give him a few minutes to tell us why.
One of the things I was pleased about when arriving here was that there's lots of holes in the street where they're always digging, and lots of scaffolding everywhere, which I always kind of see as this like a virus and this kind of unplanned architecture that springs up on buildings, unplanned. There's a lot of funny pictures on the web of like the pyramids in Egypt, or famous like tourist sites, and people have gone traveling there, and it's the time it's covered in scaffold with the work going on it. So I always think about this kind of temporariness and how it's always considered such a blight on a city, but actually it is the reality, and it tells us more about like the city as a kind of psychological reflection of an individual, these cracks and these things that we don't perhaps like to necessarily show of ourselves is made real with this material. Well, the scaffolding, usually when if I use it to build, I try and keep it as much like a language as it is in the street anyway. So part of what I thought with this tour is every time there is a scaffolding, which I already have pictures of and I will later influence sculptures I'll make, I would claim it as mine along this tour. If I do a project, usually you work with a scaffold crew and you invite them to make it like a scaffold crew, not like an art piece. So in a way, when the lines between when it's a real scaffold or when it becomes a sculpture are really only defined by a gallery context or a press release. So for the tour, I just wanted to make it more specific that in my head, this is already like a piece of my work or something that would influence a future piece. And I'm also applying these lines of orange tape through the space. It was one of the first things when I was here, trying to consider the sort of an area of the city to work within, a kind of radius. And the radius doesn't really work with Turin because it's such gridded streets. So I was trying to draw a circle on a straight line. So part of, as well, as we go around the tour, I'm adding these orange lines, which wherever it's kind of legal to place one, it shouldn't be graffiti, but it should be somewhere where posters or stickers already go, that provides another sort of guiding point as we walk this route.
Ma come gli è venuta in mente? Cioè, ha fatto lui il cartellone, no? Sta tirando giù.
And now what are you doing?
Add a little bit of tape. So just take this thing that's fallen down quite naturally. Like, I didn't tear it down, but just kind of give some form to it. Like a kind of, just maybe how, like, you know, we perceive chaos and we try and make sense of this thing that the world is or our experience, and that it's really an impossible thing. So just taking this thing that is relatively a mess and somehow applying some kind of formal order to it, but knowing that the moment it rains, it's going to fall down. Yeah, it's on the way. So I don't want to be the one that brings it down or sticks it back up, but maybe you just get involved a bit in the process, that maybe also you're not trying to shout public art, but maybe some people are like us stood here and at some point they're just like, how would that have fallen and folded in this way? So just like subtle public art, or just...
Talking about public art, it is time to move on and get to the nearby Piazza Palazzo di Città. Here we are, with other two examples of how the city changed its facade through art and lighting. It is enough to see the bronze sculpture and the aerial texture of light lanterns above our heads.
Yeah, work for public art, working with light is one good answer to get a better result. You know, something installed in sympathy with buildings rather than the thing plonked down. Is the Daniel Burren, which I haven't seen on at night. Buren,
yeah.
Have you seen it
yes.
at night? I think he's really good, and I think he gets some criticism that you can fly him in, and he can kind of, it's a recurrent language. But this is what most people do anyway. In a museum space, you know, fly in their language and display it. No, I think this is a really successful piece.
Ah, una cosa che ci ricorda invece come la luce sia una conquista recente, insomma, fino al 1800.
Nowadays we take light for granted, but this is a recent conquest. In the past, as the sun set, cities were really deeply dark. If they glow and it was not a feast, it would have been war. This square still bears a sign of one of its wars against the French in the 18th century. And we would have never noticed that without Fabrizio. It is a cannonball stuck pretty high at the second floor of the building, at the corner with Via Palazzo di Città.
One of the things I was doing back there as well was adding these orange lines. So just empty billboards or where there's some posters. It's kind of a little bit of a guide for this walk. But also when I was trying to first navigate the city, I think I was thinking of the circumference or a circle around it. And it's probably about one of the most impossible places to walk in any kind of circle. To deal with the grid. So there's just this idea of adding these lines to try and find your way around a circle. And even, I guess now, we're about to hit a line of 20,000 people on Via Garibaldi.
It makes you feel dizzy to think of the thousands of people who have walked down the street, up and down, up and down, up and down, consuming the stones, always the same, never the same. But if we just slow down, if we could only dig a hole and snoop around 2 meters underneath, probably we would see the same scene, just 2,000 years older.
If we find a hole in the street where they're digging, maybe we could link that in to talk about, because obviously when you see this hole, it's like, when was the last time that this earth saw the sunlight, you know, or how many layers of history in this kind of, yeah, like it's archaeological, but you know, this is how archaeology begins, right? Someone goes, oh, what's this? You never just start digging. It takes a hole in the street, but we'll save that for if we find one. Always a recurring thing as well in cities that, like, say Oxford Street in London, yeah. People don't turn right into Fitzrovia, or sometimes left to Soho, but really it's like, no, this is what you do here, up and down. But do you think, who are most of the people here Turinese, or they're visiting the city? How do you like gauge the people in your experience? Or
you see the color of the people, it's very dark here, very blue or black, mainly. And it reflects a little the feeling of the people, that they go straight. In North Africa, in Algeria or in Morocco, you in a street like this, you see a lot of people standing and talking, making noise, and here it's not so normal.
No, the only people that hang out are young people who are ostracized from. It's always that gap between your parents' home and being able to be in the bar. It's here or McDonald's. We're on Via Garibaldi, and it's Saturday afternoon. We're going to try and get off it as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, we have to run.
It is time to breathe, to make our eyes and ears rest. Our next stop is a church nearby, Sant'Agostino, not that far. You can just take Via Bellezia and then turn left in Via Corte d'Appello and then again turn right to Via Sant'Agostino. Or you can press the pause button and get lost in the area. Just remember, next stop, Sant'Agostino Church.
We're walking towards the Egyptian obelisk. To our right, we have a nice scaffold structure that has temporarily sprung up. And we're looking for a hole in the street. And now we're going to turn off Via Corte d'Appello onto
Via Sant'Agostino.
Do you know the name of the church we're at now?
Ah, Sant'Agostino.
Questa era la chiesa appunto del Boia. Cioè il Boia veniva qua praticamente a prendere messa.
Sant'Agostino was the church where executioners were buried. As the corpse couldn't find their way to the last rest in consecrated soil, they had their own corner here, under the bell tower. As you can imagine, the executioner inspired fear. He was at once revered and ostracized. That is why he could sit only in the very back of the church, and even the baker refused to have any physical contact with him, and served him with contempt, placing his bread upside down.
Broken glass, which I was thinking, and it's another forced collaboration. The architect builds the door, the person kicks it, someone tomorrow will add tape, and so there's these like three layers, and then the tape will stay on, or a large piece of plywood goes on for like a week, and then the new glass goes in. I think to really enjoy the work, you have to walk this every day.
Where I? A Roman column.
Don't expect it to stand it with dignity. Can you see it? The column, stuck in the corner of the building between Via Santa Chiara and Via delle Orfane, incorporated into an architecture that it's not its own. A cornerstone turned into a curbstone from the Middle Age to nowadays. Next stop, the Consolata Church. In any other occasion, we wouldn't have come here for the church.
The church is in front of the most ancient and famous chocolate bar of the town. I don't know if you know it, but you have to spend some time in there.
But what we like about walking with Fabrizio is to rediscover the city, to really see this church and find out that it is an incredible open-air probing of the history of Turin. It is not just monumental, it is also an architectural shake built upon the angular tower of the ancient Roman walls. It features a Romanic tower, a Roman balustrade stuck at the base of it, as well as many signs of neo-baroque and neoclassical renovations. We just need to turn around the church and stand for a moment at the corner with Via Giulio to imagine how the ancient northern walls looked like. And from the ruins of the Roman tower looking towards Piazza Filiberto, our walks take its own way outside the medieval city. In a minute, everything will change, from sounds to volumes, from colors to architectures. Everything will be new.
Now we're heading along Piazza Emanuele Filiberto towards what I know is just being where the market is, Porto Palazzo. So we're now on the corner of Piazza Emanuele Filiberto and Via Saint Agostino, and we have a what I'd consider fairly typical Torinese hole in the street. Not too deep, but one of these moments where when I see these, I certainly think, like, when was the last time this earth would have seen sunlight? And even though it's not, you know, it's not an official archaeological dig, but it's only finding one thing away from being revealing. As we were walking down Via Garibaldi, we talked about the real stones being underneath. And if I could get inside this fence, this would be somewhere where I would, yes, you know, sure, rearrange some of the materials. Okay, so now we're coming to the corner of Piazza Emanuele Filiberto, and the top end of the market is coming into view.
Here it is, the biggest, noisiest, most crowded city market of Turin.
7 o'clock on a Saturday, but the clocks go back tomorrow, so make sure you take note of that. And the market's still in full swing.
At this point, if the market is there, we suggest you take off your headphones and enjoy it live. We'll meet again at the entrance of Galleria Umberto I as soon as you're ready, and we'll be heading in the direction of the Giardini Reali.
Place more than any other in the city is always like things are propped, angled, just like practical means, but always like formally anything you'd see in a gallery you'd be really happy with, I think. So now we're walking away from the market and have turned on to Via Regina Margherita. The market was one of the main places when I was here, I was working, just because it was just so interesting with the Everyone had a really set action, be it the traders, the cleaners. There was, and it's, yeah, like architecture on fast forward, this constant space of flux and change, yet going through a repeated pattern. So for me, it was a really interesting sight to try and deal with. And down, as we walk past, there's public art on the right and on the left, every day here, they always stack the boxes and crates. And for me, it's one of my favorite places always, because it's always something like what it looks like here. These guys are here 24 hours. There's always someone here. So it's worth, they have to protect it, but of course they can't afford fences or something, but there's obviously a value to these boxes. And it always looks something like this, but it's every day different.
C'è una cosa di questo mercato che è sempre la stessa, ed è proprio che
there is one thing that never changes. The market always changes. Its people, colors, languages, and costumes have always been the mirror of how social shifts shaped the city itself since the late 1800s.
Il mercato è sempre attivo, sempre vivo, sempre lì. Ed è proprio la novità, l'elemento di staticità, se vogliamo, di questo mercato. È una cosa un po' particolare, ma è così.
This is how Fabrizio took his leave. Modernity is in front of us. The Diogene tram is just across the river. Only a few more stops to get there. Keep on.
now we're crossing via 20 September, still on Corso Reggio, Regina Margherita. The wall down here is my favorite graffiti part of the city that I've seen, because everyone has exactly used this kind of canvas-sized brick area that sticks out from the main wall, like all the tags. Do you know what this building is, where we are now?
Let me see. Yes, it's the end of the Royal Gardens.
Okay. And opposite, there's one of the orange lines that I've placed previously.
Yeah.
They just begin, the first few seem blank, but then it's like everyone who's added their tag has done it really respectfully within the square. It's not down here. Down here, it's like always within the format of the gallery. It's like a nice MoMA hang. Here's so-and-so's tag. Here's the next one. Here's one cleaned. Some kind of symbol. And this old site opposite here is in the daylight, is one of the most beautiful buildings, like in disrepair. And someone else told me it was a pornography cinema or something back when
I wrote about this because at the beginning it was a theater, and then saw a lot of big Italian artists were here, but then it started to be intended to be a porno cinema, and so actually they are trying to rebuild the owner of the quarter here is trying to rebuild it as a creative and very modern building house for to live in.
It looks, just in the day, it looks beautiful, like with this kind of facade has been removed. And
the color, the rooms that still, they are still on the back.
Yeah, it's really great. And then, as we walk down, I have a sculpture on the corner of the park. And this one's still standing. Just from, I don't know, this one, there was some quite large stones around, I guess because we're kind of by the park. But always the aim is to try and just find them from the nearby location, you know, not to disrupt the area too much. But just a slight rearrangement that, yeah, I quite like this one.
I think it's gonna stay here a long time because it reverts a kind of respect, you know.
It does look a bit like I should put my flowers at it, doesn't it? Okay, so the rubble sculpture on the corner of,
what does that say?
Viale Primo Maggio.
I didn't bring my glasses, as well as the language. And now we're gonna turn left away from the park, down a main road towards Corso Reggio Parco. Yeah, when we cross the bridge, I have two pieces to install.
There's only this one in Torino.
The number 7?
The number 7 is the vintage line.
Okay.
And it's wonderful because if you, well, you know the tram, but it's very noisy. And with the old noises, because the new one have different noises.
Yeah. No, it sounds beautiful. It's quite an uneventful road, apart from there's one slab which has fallen over, which holds up the pavement, and I've tried moving it and it's too heavy to really do anything with. But there's no hazard signs around it. And it just seems like beautifully, okay, now that one's just set. It's obviously not doing any harm. No one's falling over it. So this one, you can see all the earth has grown around it it's a little bit dark for us now at 7:30. Heading towards the river, it's a little chillier. There's the fallen stone is just there by the poster for, what's the poster for?
Robert,
I kind of Robert Altman. So in front of Robert Altman, the fallen rubble. Okay, so now we're going to cross the river. And we just set up a couple of pieces here. And I did a rubble sculpture like that on the corner of the walkway down to the river. And it was gone this morning.
It was gone?
Yeah. But it's, in a way, it becomes, it's kind of the discipline of making them that you can't become attached to them. And so you have to do that by not spending too long on them. So that then you're building it knowing it can be taken away at any moment. And sort of like just the discipline of making it or putting yourself into that mental position with the making rather than this super precious thing. I'm just putting a lock onto this railing on the river with a padlock for love. That's what I'm doing it for. It has sort of scratched in on it, Nietzsche on there. But also I think, you know, there is some bridges with padlocks on, right? So I thought it's a good, I mean, I've got the key for this, so I'm going to remove it at some point, yeah, but for the tour, it's like a marker. You know, this project was called All the Best Thinking or Thoughts Come When Walking, which was, kind of just fed back into the project and doing a survey, sondaggio of Torino, on what we were going to do today. Hopefully it was more interesting than sitting around a table talking about the city. We've just crossed the bridge and we arrive. We can see the bright neon of the sushi sign, so we're well out of the Quadrilatero Romano. Neon signs are now allowed. There's a garage and we're just going to walk down the promenade. The tram comes into view just when we cross the road. If you walk along the left way, you'll see an orange line on the electrical box guiding your way. Maybe we should probably get Luca to talk more about the difference between this area and being up where we were.
It was an area with little factories or something like that. So it was the place for work and some clubs or bars grew up in this area on the right side looking the tram, but it's still not as famous as the places where he'd been, the Quadrilatero. It's the first new old place in town.
What would you call this part of? Is this like a promenade or
Viale?
So on the Viale, from the river down to the tram, I'm going to leave an umbrella at either end. That's perhaps broken in the wind, but has been discarded. Where can we let's place it here. I'm just going to put a little cable tie on it. To hold it in place. For me, when I see them after it's been raining and everyone goes and buys the cheap umbrella, there was quickly thrown down, right? There's like this refugee thing, and I think you think this moment when it's blown inside out and someone's had to be like, that's it. It's, you know, there's this tragedy that you can sort of see in this moment of it being thrown down. That's why I was hoping it was going to rain today a little bit. They say it always rains during Altissima. I'm adding some black and yellow chevron tape to indicate for public safety. And here the only one used is red and white. So part of what I've been adding, so there's these temporary public moments where this hazard sign has been placed until the street is fixed. And this tape is part of the language of that. So I wanted to add this tape, which still has the same use and means the same thing, but it's not the tape used here. So it kind of is distinguished, but it's still doing the same thing. So my artwork is kind of in line with what's happening. If anything, I'm adding more safety to the area, but it's tweaking at the system that's in place. It's not what it should be. And so this will be as part of the sculpture tour that this work is now installed. In a way, I wanted to, looking to add the tape, but this was actually on this bench. Dangerous, so there isn't any. This is the only place where there's no red and white tape, but I've added the black and yellow to protect old ladies and children. Well, it's a fine line with doing this kind of thing. It shouldn't become vandalism or graffiti or kind of a real disruption to the people. You don't want to, that then it's backfiring. Oh, and there's an orange line on the tree stump. And there's going to be orange lines on the tree stumps all the way down. I don't know why would they have cut these trees down. Like the whole way down, they've taken out about half of them. So if it's daylight, you can see the tram from here. This is always very nice in the daytime. Like yeah. It's really used a lot. I mean, there's teenagers sitting around and old people. I mean, I feel a bit more in England, like it's a bit more cut off, like older people don't want to be where teenagers would go. There's more segregated areas. I'm going to start, let's put the flowers up as we go. If you could, I'm going to take
one.
Yeah, just one. And then as we go along, we'll just put one at a time. I'm going to make sure there's a flower there. See how it lasts. I mean, I would imagine someone will take one. There's a nice bit of yellow and black chevron tape as well here that was added earlier, just opposite Articola Regala. Let's add another flower just opposite Torrey Bar. Then we have a tree stump on the right, where I'm sure it would be nice to have a tree. And a working fountain. To see a year ago you could have seen the tram because it was silver, and now it's painted black. Now the whole time I was here in the residence, the only time people would come and talk to me, I mean, if they were over 6 years old, and that meant the only people who would come were like over 50, generally, who feel they could. There's some sort of age thing. It's like under a certain age and above a certain age, you can approach anyone. But it was always to complain about the color of the tram, that it looks like a funeral carriage. We're now on the roundabout, looking dead on at the tram at the moment, so we can see the number 12. And just to the left, we can see Bar Polos, and behind the tram to the right, opposite Bar Polos, is a piece of classic 80s, maybe. Luca, thank you very much for joining us, and thanks very much to Fabrizio, who left us earlier, and thanks to you guys holding this mic for several hours. Good night. Okay. Can we use that for the end?
You can find more about Graham Hudson on his website, grahamhudson.com. You can read Luca Marino's column every Friday on La Stampa newspaper and online. If you want a special guide in Turin, you can get in touch with Fabrizio and the Archaeological Group of Turin at archeogat.it. And in the end, if you want to know the girls behind the mic, go to radiopapese.org. This project was commissioned by Progetto Diogene, progettodiogene.eu.